We got the thumbs up. Sorry.
We got the thumbs up already?
We were bantering prematurely.
Okay. We're getting right into it today.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We're prosecuting Dr. Fauci's top aide, David Morenz.
Damn it. So close.
Who's a real piece of work, what this guy did.
Yeah.
And you've written a lot on this too. So he was basically trying to make it more difficult to obtain the emails where they discuss whether COVID is the result of a lab experiment that they themselves funded and supported. And he buries those emails by directing. He's like, no, just use my Gmail, please. Can we not have these discussions in places people can see them?
Yeah.
That is a crime. It's not the most serious crime ever. But, right?
No,
that's
but
what it is?
Yes. Destruction of documents or, you know, destruction of federal records. Also accepting gifts, illegal gratuities. It's another thing he's been charged with. When it comes to these, like, records crimes, transparency crimes, it's not the most serious criminal offense, as you mentioned. But the subject matter, I mean, A, this guy's behavior is so blatant and almost, like, comical that it really does deserve some sanction. And also these emails have been out for years, so it's kind of sad that we haven't had a prosecution up to this point. He's literally saying, send the emails to my Gmail so I can avoid FOIA. Or our FOIA lady has taught me how to delete emails and so they don't show up after a FOIA request has been filed, which is bad behavior for your bureaucrat regardless.
Right.
It's additionally bad behavior because he's, in many of these emails, he's corresponding with Peter Daszak, former president of the now shuttered
EcoHealth
Alliance.
They're not discussing applesauce packaging.
No, they're discussing his attempt as a government official to get this guy's grant reinstated that was canceled by the Trump administration and to defend his reputation against other media criticisms, which is inappropriate. You know, this is a contractor. It's an inappropriate thing for a government official to be doing. It's even more scandalous given that Peter Daszak and EcoHealth Alliance are at the center of the probable of
gain of function in lab leak.
Yes, they were the ones who were subcontracting to the Wuhan Institute of Virology to do this gain of function research on coronaviruses there. And that's why they got their grant canceled in the first place. And now you have this government official, Fauci's top scientific advisor, saying very blatantly, let's have all these discussions about getting your grant reinstated and the origins of COVID off the record so that it's not available to public records requests, which is incredibly damning given,
Damning.
Yeah.
It's damning.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Well,
you know, you appear in these emails, Christian Brischke.
Oh, no.
This debate over gain of function that they're trying to arrive at, did the research that Dr. Fauci supports to make viruses stronger called gain of function, which he's had this whole debate about. Rand Paul, whether it was gain of function, could that have been responsible for the outbreak? You know, back then, you were working out a lot, and you kept, sending me all these gym selfies of yourself. You know, check out these gains.
Yeah.
And what I did is I forwarded them all to Dr. Fauci, and I'm like, are these gains even legal?
Yeah, so that's where that NIH grant came from. Yeah.
Exactly. Which, you shouldn't do that, by the way. It's workplace harassment.
Okay,
have to keep a professional.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess the heart emoji reacts gave me some mixed signals.
I just do that for everyone. But we gotta keep it professional here. We're professional people.
Right.
And I just hope we remember that.
I'll try. I'll do my very best.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I'll be that cartoon. Where they like waving the ugly man says hello and they HR please.
Right. Yeah.
I love that. No, you're the first one, my friend.
Oh, the suave one.
We welcome.
Where my sexual harassment is welcomed.
We all welcome the harassment. Okay.
Excellent.
Fauci has a blanket pardon from Biden. Mm-hmm. I think it was probably it was the most contemptible of all the pardons for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And worse even than the one he gave his son. One of the most contemptible things he really did during his presidency, because we are trying to understand what created, if anything, a disease that killed millions of people.
Yeah.
And you're trying to make more difficult the process of scrutinizing the pivotal figure.
Who has lied about funding research that very probably did, in fact, create this virus, right?
Right.
Funded it in violation of federal, White House policy.
Right. Obama said no more of this. I don't want any more of this. But it's always unless it's an emergency. Aha! It's an emergency. We're going to do it anyway. Fauci said He was deposed. I've read the transcript of that deposition. He said he may have, he doesn't recall, he may have had someone else do it, maybe David Morenz, sign off to green light gain-of-function projects, even during the time period where Barack Obama, the president, had said, no more of this, please. I become concerned we're going to create the stand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's
a pretty damning fact on its own.
Yes, yes.
The political leaders said, please stop doing this.
Yes.
And he said, well, that's your opinion.
Right. I'm going to continue doing this because I find this research, you know, I have the minority opinion that I find this research, this titillating, insanely risky research
in a Dr.
Frankenstein-esque
basically
no
way.
Benefits whatsoever.
Yeah.
I find this research valuable. So I'm going to thwart the will of the presidents to successive presidents and keep funding this research illegally.
Right.
Yeah. And he's been pardoned for this now. And it's crazy how watching the hearings with Fauci and his behavior, you know, through lab leak investigations, watching what a suave and cynical bureaucrat he is, is really actually, it's impressive in a way. Because the second that somebody gets caught red-handed, he is completely willing to throw them under the bus, right? So when it came to like Peter Daszak, who got caught, his group got caught basically not submitting required progress reports about the viruses they were creating on the eve of the pandemic.
Sure.
A little curious.
Amazing.
He was like, oh, well, you know, I don't think, you know, none of that research that we funded caused the pandemic. But yeah, that process crime. Yeah, definitely debar him. This collaborator, you know, this person he'd been funding. David Morenz, you know, his longtime chief scientific advisor. Fauci in the hearings, you know, after all these emails come out where he's saying, I have a back channel to Tony, Anthony Fauci. I can, you know, get information to him privately. He says, oh, no, I barely talked to this guy at all. I don't even really know him that well. Right. Oh, he's ruthless.
And they were also underselling, you know, to get approval for this project. EcoHealth Alliance was underselling how much of it would be done in China, not under our supervision.
Explicitly like, obscuring that. Mm-hmm.
That'll be, we will not say the quiet part out loud, being that we're actually going to do this. This research will be done in a lab that is well beyond U.S. control.
And their explicit motivation for doing that was that it was cheaper because they had lower biosafety protocols.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not good.
It's so scandalous. It's an extreme scandal. And it's unfortunate that, I do wish some other administration were in charge of prosecuting these guys, because the Trump administration will charge anyone with anything.
Yeah.
And so it's
the
Comey
thing
that
is,
I mean, things like this.
This is their second try. The first try was some kind of perjury, obstruction, misleading investigation, which
is always,
you know,
bullshit.
You can always get somebody on that because the state has all the power in that case. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. Whatever. This one, for arranging the seashells.
Explain for the
listeners. Oh, my God. He arranged the seashells at 86, 47. Mm-hmm. Trump's the 47th president? 86, 47.
Oh, like 86, the 47th
86,
president.
Which is, it means get rid of. I guess to the mafia, that means, get rid of them by taking them out that way. Mm-hmm. Also, in a restaurant, it just means remove the food or from the menu.
86 that, yeah.
It is not. So they're prosecuting him for having arranged seashells on a beach to say that, taking a picture and posting it to social media.
It's clearly ludicrous.
The idea that that is a credible, actionable threat of violence, and thus that speech loses First Amendment protection, is ludicrous. Mm-hmm. It is not at all remote. It's not a close call. It's not even in the same universe as a call. And then Kash Patel is bragging that they spent, you know, months and months and months on this investigation. Countless man hours went into this. This is the time. These are the things you're wasting everybody's time on. Something that will get laughed out of court. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know people who have gone through a very basic First Amendment education. I mean, like a high school education. Know that speech loses protection. You can have general calls to violence. Mm-hmm. It has to be specific. It has to have elements of an actual plan, a call to do violence against a specific target at a specific time using a specific means. You have all that. You maybe get yourself into criminally actionable speech.
Yeah.
This is not even close. Yeah. Not even close.
Yeah.
So Why are they wasting time on this? Because he doesn't like Comey. That's why.
Yeah, when they could be ruthlessly prosecuting the people who created a virus that killed millions of people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who are also their political enemies.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, let's point the gun at the people responsible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, that was using imagery that I could not be prosecuted for saying.
Gonna have to lock you up.
You know what I was quoting there? Dark Knight, not Bane. That was the Dark Knight. Harvey Dent and their showdown with Jim Gordon.
Right.
Yeah.
You're trying to be a decent man in an indecent time. Yes. It's not going to work, my friend.
It's not working for us. Not going to work. Not going to happen. It is an indecent time.
Because we're
but no one's trying to be decent.
No. Not anymore.
We've
given up on that. Yeah. We're having a 250th anniversary magazine issue coming out. I wrote a little something
250th,
about
250th. Oh,
of nice. The whole country.
We've been around for 250.
Can you believe that? Yeah.
Wow.
It's a long time. But I was just writing about, I wrote a thing about George Washington, who, you know, us libertarians have many complaints. Yeah. We have many complaints about Washington. We do. There's several.
Was it the Whiskey Rebellion?
Well, so the Whiskey Rebellion is not so good. You know, he leads he puts down a tax revolt, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
There's that. That's not so good. He was always, in every, debate at the time, he was always an advocate for more federal power, right?
Right.
Like, you know, when it was like, should we... Like, Murray Rothbard was really into the idea that we should have fought the American Revolution as a guerrilla war with just, militias, which are more democratic and voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, George Washington wanted a standing
European...
To actually win the war. Well, there's a debate, you know, which one would actually have been better, right? But he wanted a standing army, which then necessitated taxes and inflation and set up America's state. So we have complaints. Nevertheless...
I'm a fan, but I get it.
No, I'm a fan, too, because he had a chance pretty early on to... stage a military coup overthrow a completely useless Congress that I'm surprised it commanded the loyalty of anyone and was refusing to pay the troops that just won this war for them. And he's like, no, we got to trust the process. And so instead of American history starting with a military coup, we got this good lesson in Republican self-restraint.
His personal high level of moral character and honor and decency is largely responsible for the success of our country, I think.
100%.
And that's what's so admirable about it, for the reasons you're saying.
We could very...
It could have gone south.
Right.
Could have literally gone south.
Right. Right at the very beginning.
Yeah.
I don't think it's too much to say. We very nearly could have been a Venezuela or an Argentina or a Mexico where it's all this back and forth between military strongmen and democracy and whatever else. Yeah, it's crazy. In the Newburg conspiracy is what we're talking about, right? Where the troops haven't been paid, they're worried that the peace is about to be declared, right? And so they're worried that Congress is going to dismiss them without paying them any money, right? And so they're agitating for pay, and then some of the politicians and generals who are eager to have a strong new federal government. There's a debate amongst historians about whether they're just kind of egging these guys on, looking to exploit it, or actively orchestrating the conspiracy. But they see in this a huge opportunity to say, okay, these guys are going to march on Congress, and we'll use this to set up a powerful federal government that'll, you know, govern the post-war situation, right? And George Washington is the person they're looking to be the, coup leader, basically. And they write these anonymous letters that they're circulating amongst the troops. That basically say, no justice, no peace, right? It's don't sheath your sword until full justice has been, achieved. And Washington is just nope, none of that. We're done.
What a guy.
Yeah. We owe him a lot, despite, the Whiskey Rebellion and all of that. So.
Yeah. Good man. All right. Yeah, we're putting together memorials of various founders.
Yeah, do you have
a lot of great characters? No, I'm not participating in this.
Okay,
I just talk on television. I'm not. I can't be trusted to write actually intelligent things anymore.
Well, do you want to give us some extemporaneous shower thoughts on a founder you liked?
Sure. I like Jefferson a lot. I do. I love that son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Not as morally upstanding a character as some of these people. Weird, honestly. He's kind of the weird one.
Yeah.
He would have
been a Twitter long post obsessor.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or maybe even God forgive me for saying.
And you'd be
it.
Like,
maybe
and
even
then
a Redditor.
Check locate account based in France.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Right. He'd be talking about, you know, what's gone wrong with the revolution. You're like, bro, you're not even in the country right now.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
He would. Yeah. Right.
That's what it would be.
What do you care about our politics, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd have...
Nikita, can I get this account demonetized?
He'd have multiple Substacks about his brilliant idea for a dumb waiter.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Views on modifications to Christianity that no one asked for.
Right,
no yeah. one wanted at all.
Right, right. Yeah. He would be fighting the trad cats on Twitter. Every
yeah.
Day.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I like him. John, the Jefferson-John Adams rivalry is just a great scripted drama type thing that actually happened.
Right, yeah.
You couldn't have planned it out better. They're sort of... disagreements and but friendship and then hatred and then friendship again, die on the same day,
right?
July 4th. Crazy.
I mean they were in the same car, I guess, but the fact that they did die on the same day, yeah, on fucking yeah. July 4th is
hours
absolutely
apart.
Amazing. Yeah, it's gotta yeah. be gotta be that it's can't be a coincidence.
John Adams is another person of a pretty exceptional moral character.
Yeah, he's a lot less fun than the other
not
founding
fun,
fathers.
Dour New Englander.
Yeah, he's a Puritan, right?
Yes. Humorless,
irascible.
Yes, hates but hates slavery. Continues in public service, becoming louder and louder about the cause of abolition.
His legacy, what he wanted his legacy to be, was that he prevented us from going to war with France. So he was a peacemaker.
Right.
He was not
yes.
a warmonger. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good man.
I don't know.
Too.
You just like you spend any time studying like the English Revolution or the French Revolution or the Russian Revolution.
They all go bad.
It's like, yeah, either they like high-minded people tear themselves apart.
Right.
Or just everyone is like a criminal gangster piece of shit from the
right.
very beginning. Right.
Yes.
Whereas the American Revolution is actually like
it works
pretty
out
nice.
Really well,
amazingly.
It works
well.
Out so well,
amazingly
and,
well.
And you're right; that is the exception. The French Revolution is terrible;
it's a disaster.
The Russian Revolution is even worse.
Yes.
Yeah, those are just bad people
doing
socialism.
Bad things.
Socialism
yeah.
is not good.
Yeah.
But just immediately now we'll establish an even worse dictatorship.
Because the Tsar was pretty bad. The Tsar was pretty
Tsar,
bad.
It's hard not to sympathize with the Tsar after it all goes down, I think.
Given what happens to him, sure.
And him and yeah. his family. Mm-hmm. And the Tsar
was... He was a good man running a very bad system.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 I have these inner monarchist thoughts I just can't shake sometimes. Frankly, I like the Tsar better than Louis.
The 16th?
Was terrible. Seems just awful.
I feel like they're actually very similar...
Yeah.
Men who are like kind of incompetent, but wedded to a certain sense of they feel mm-hmm. that they have like a certain sense of duty. So they have to be the absolute monarch.
I guess.
But they're not so absolutist that they could like effectively crush the opposition against them. But both of them were family men who love their families. So
sure.
I appreciate that.
The Tsar's what happened to the Tsar seems more almost beyond his control. Well, they could have fled Russia, I guess, and probably should have. But. Things were going in rush in catastrophically wrong in Russia in a more in a way that feels more difficult to battle against. Whereas France was not like so much worse off than all its peer countries at the time. And if you just had slightly less stupid policies, you could have.
No,
some of that.
I agree
mean?
With yes.
It feels more his fault.
Yes,
for Louis,
I 100% agree. He could have been much if he had been better at the politicking.
Yeah,
he could have navigated the revolution and come out on top.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Whereas Nicholas,
gangs of thugs wanted to kill everyone and institute communism.
Right. Like they were already assassinating people left
right.
and right. And also, like once the war starts, like you're just fucking done.
Yeah,
it's done. So.
Also, it's Russia.
Yeah, it's Russia.
Russia has this long history of political assassination and coups, and
right.
No offense to the Russian people, but it was not at the time as civilized a place as France was compared to its peer countries.
Right. Yeah,
coming across like some Francist.
Yeah, Gaullist. Yeah. Francophile.
Stuff. Francophile,
which in English means
right,
like
a Francoist is a
like
different thing.
Yeah, I'm sure you like him too. No?
Uh oh. Ah, good old history.
Yeah.
Speaking of historic things,
yeah.
The White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Oh, you
was
were
kind of
in the center of the action there, right?
Well, I was not at the dinner itself.
Okay.
Where There was another assassination.
Well, you tried to get in, but they tackled you and wrapped you in a space blanket.
Oh my god! I still haven't gotten the answer to why that guy was not wearing a shirt when it all went down.
I don't know.
They pull his shirt off to make sure he doesn't have a bomb on. Under
so that's what I've heard. I don't know if that's like actually the official explanation. I can't imagine what else it would be. But and then they, I guess, because he was cold, they put a space blanket.
Did you see that selfie he took from his hotel room?
Yeah.
Where he's making like the Pixar face, the like.
Yeah. The gym office face.
People have called it that too.
The Reddit face.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's the Reddit face.
This was, we'll get to him in a minute. So thankfully no one was hurt. I wasn't there at the dinner. I was at a different party for Substack. You know, there's lots of parties going on this weekend before, during, after.
You guys are still locked down though.
They locked us down. Yeah. Suderman was there and some other friends of ours. And then if you were in line to get in, when this all happened, they wouldn't let you in. And if you were in, you couldn't leave. So me, Suderman, an open bar, about a third as many people as supposed to be there. Mm. I didn't have to wait in line for a drink at all.
Hell yeah.
It was great.
Okay, so it worked out.
Saw my friend Michael Tracy.
You're telling me you have a motive, is what you're saying.
Well, I am only a suspect in most such assassinations.
I just have to make a call real quick.
I was going to tell you about Michael Tracy, who was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he got into a little...
Yeah, I was watching this drama. No one is really covering themselves in glory, are they?
No.
Yeah, why don't you tell the people who aren't familiar with it?
Probably they're sick of hearing about it, but you know, I love him. Mm-hmm. I just love the guy.
Yeah.
We share... some similar views. I don't mostly go around trying to fight people, but he'll say that Jim Acosta started it, and Jim Acosta said, let's
accosted
take this outside.
Him. Jim Acosta.
Thank you.
Him.
I've been looking for an excuse to make that little word pun frequently, and you just stole it right from me.
No, so now we have to go outside.
Thanks a lot.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't look. That's the job. That's banter. I can't know.
Okay.
We'll just cut it there. Please continue.
I'm done.
I'll stop making jokes. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being funny.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You're out of the podcast.
Damn. All right.
So they did not fight each other, but then Michael Tracy was like, "Why don't you come to my hotel room?" And it was over with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to confront one of the Epstein files women, Tara Palmieri and Julie K. Brown. They were at this party, or one of them was, and he wanted to go fight with it. Because he had just been at an Epstein, a Virginia Giuffre memorial thing, trying to interview the people there.
Okay, I'm sure that went well.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone liked him there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, love the guy.
Okay.
But you shouldn't fight people. Fighting people's no good. Mm-hmm. But he says Jim Acosta started it. And again, I turned my back for 5 minutes.
And boom.
And then people are fighting each other.
Okay. Well, this was the center of the journalism world.
But as this is happening,
yeah,
another assassin comes for our president.
Mm-hmm.
Prevented. This person seems to have been radicalized by the most center-left, blue-sky,
normie,
mainstream media progressivism. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Epstein stuff, because the first thing he says in his manifesto is Trump is a pedophile.
But you repeat yourself, because that is now the mainstream center-left criticism of Trump.
For
right?
sure. Mm-hmm. He's complicit in, again, an insinuation that has, for which there is not a shred of evidence whatsoever, which I find interesting for who believes in conspiracies. Oh, it's only the right. Oh. Mm-hmm.
It's only the crazies.
Only the crazies.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, he had a ludicrously normal, if... cringe lib set of complaints.
It was like
Donald
a resignation
Trump.
Letter from like managing a Starbucks.
Yes.
That was the tone of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was not, people said it was like rambling and crazy, which I guess it was, but like
it was not rambling and crazy at all.
I mean, yeah, right. It was 1,000 words and it was like a kind of generic list of complaints about the Trump administration.
Yeah.
And, you know, slightly more verbose language. Like, it wouldn't...
They don't make him crazy anymore.
It wouldn't surprise... Like, it read like someone... Like, someone wrote a bad op-ed and submitted it to the student paper, right? That's what it read.
Exactly.
Like. But this is why I think it goes to show that, like... I mean,
people's writing quality is going down.
People's writing quality is going down. It would be funny if he tried to get ChatGPT to do this. And...
That's the real tragedy.
Yeah, right.
Republic
also, like,
of Letters, so
right.
much for that. What would Washington and Jefferson say to this?
Oh, something a little too articulate for me to, you know, paraphrase. But No, it's this. This speaks to like why like all the like hunts for ideological motivations after a shooting or an assassination attempt are almost kind of beside the point, right? Because people, you want to do it because maybe you're sincerely interested in preventing radicalization or whatever.
Right.
But normally you want to do it so you can hang the shooting over the heads of your political opponents.
Oh
right?
Yeah, we were in the Substack party thinking, okay. Let's go. Is it a right-wing nut job, Islam,
mm-hmm.
Antifa?
Yeah.
I actually guessed right away, but just because I was talking to Michael Tracy, that bet it's an Epstein person. Yeah, someone motivated by Epstein. So I'm taking the win on this one.
Okay. Yeah, but it was like normie lib complaints,
normie lib
though,
stuff.
Right?
Normie
yeah.
Lib. Normie
but
lib.
That's the thing. It's like half the country is normie libs, right?
Yes.
Like you don't have to have some sort of ideological fanaticism to...
Right.
Do something insane like this,
right.
right? Like the thing that precipitates the violent act or attempted violent act isn't like it's not ideology, it's not an idea, it's clearly something more psychological or moral, right?
Well, we keep talking about do we have like a mental health crisis and that's why there's so many people doing this, but the problem with that is there's you know hundreds of millions of people in this country and you could have almost no mental health problem whatsoever, and just like one in 600 million people is going to be a little wacky.
Yeah, 300 million.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know. This is still kind of rare. I mean, this is now the third time someone has made a serious-ish attempt.
Yeah.
I mean, the Butler attempt was very serious. They wounded and very nearly killed Trump.
Yeah, that was like a millimeter away from...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfathomable.
Yeah.
And this hasn't happened in a couple decades, but of course, Reagan was shot, wounded very seriously. Ford was shot at. We've had presidents killed. So it's hard to say it's getting, there was a lull and now it's kind of back because
yeah.
I don't think Obama and Bush and Clinton were not subjected
there was,
to any serious.
There was one very amateurish assassination attempt on Obama where a guy like drove by the White House and shot at the building. I think that was the main one.
Yeah.
There's been some more serious efforts to kill Trump. Part of this, like my own theories, I guess just like the people who are going to try to commit a very notorious act of violence, for whatever reason, the cycle is shifting from being a mass shooter to trying to kill the president.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. That's true.
I don't know exactly why, but like if you want to claim notoriety by engaging in an act of nihilistic violence, there's different things that you can do in given the time period, right? If it was the 70s, you would be a serial killer, right?
Yes.
If it's the 90s and the 2000s, you're going to be a mass shooter.
Right.
And today it seems more and more like you're going to try to take a shot.
If it was the 60s, you'd be blowing up mailboxes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. You'd be part of, part of Weather Underground and you'd be, blowing up JROTC buildings.
Yeah.
Right. And today it's, you try to take a shot at the president and maybe you have some articulable political motivation for doing that, but you don't have to.
Well,
the guy who almost killed him in, Pennsylvania,
hasn't articulated shit.
Yeah, we know very little about that. And there may just not be a lot to know, right? Like, he just wanted to go out with a splash. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he's kind of a little bit of an exception to some of these, the Butler guy, because he is not really... It seems like a lot of these people enjoy or derive some kind of pleasure from the idea of people scrutinizing their manifestos or reading their the era we live in, when someone does something like this, we're going to explore every aspect of their lives. We're going to read their every thought. We're going to read all their, it's almost like this is how I'm important, this is how I have attention. I mean that seems with the school shooting people, right? They enjoy that idea that I will be the main news subject of the day for week. Like that's part of the of the process for deciding this is a great idea. Frankly, I think the best thing we could do, although this is totally impossible, would to be just to ignore all these people and like not even publish their names and not say it. But we obviously can't do that because we have we have freedom of the press and people want to know. I think it's not necessarily, I understand why people want to know.
Yeah.
We seek answers.
Yeah.
We want to understand. We want to know that there was an exact series of events that took a person, normal person, and then they had XYZ encounters, mm-hmm. and they consumed ABC substances, and this is the exact path their life took.
Played the wrong video game.
Right, yeah. Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. They took too much antidepressants or not enough antidepressants. Their parents divorced when they were young. Mm-hmm. They want to know, oh, that's what it was. It was this, this, and this. So if we can stop this, this, and this, we could not have this happen again. Mm-hmm. That's, we want this neat explanation, which will never work in any of these cases because it's just too complicated for that. But we want to know. It's not helpful because then they enjoy that we want to know.
Right.
Enjoyment's not quite the right word, but that's part of the motivation, that mm-hmm. we will be scrutinizing everything about them.
Yeah.
And they will have some kind of importance that they never had in their lives.
You're seeking celebrity.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah. I mean, and people also, so they want to know, you know, mm-hmm. there's like the true crime aspect of it, but then there's just like the partisan politics of it too, right? You said the Democratic talking points,
sure.
and so it's your fault,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it is much more mysterious and much more mysterious. I don't want to glorify it, but it's much more random than that.
Right.
And
maybe he's got a lump in his head.
Yeah, right.
Like, mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
We want to know.
But we
demand to know.
You know,
and
you know,
so we scrutinize these things, even though it has, I think, very little value in doing so. And frankly, is part of the contagion effect that leads to more of it.
But yeah, it's interesting it's interesting too. Yeah, it's terrible to speculate about their motives. Anyway, to speculate about their motives.
That's what people want.
Yeah. No, it's interesting too that this guy, and then similar to Luigi Mangione, like the prototype of a lone shooter is like a loser with nothing going on in their life. But, like, these guys don't actually really fit that profile, right? I mean, this guy was employed,
Had a family.
He had a family. Yeah, he had relations. He tutored children. Like,
the Charlie Kirk shooter seemed to have a nice family.
Yeah,
they're cooperating. They turned him in.
You
know, were horrified.
Right. Yeah. So it's like not like complete social rejects, right? I mean, you look at Lee Harvey Oswald or whatever, who was just like had a sad life and was a bad man.
Yeah.
You know, before the shooting or something like that.
So, I mean, he had a wife too. He was weird.
Yeah, but I mean, well, he was.
He was he was a communist motivated person.
Yeah.
He had somewhat more obvious ideological motivation than.
Right.
Which it gets obscured in everyone's race to be like, we don't really know who did it. No, we know who did it. And he
was the communist. Who was caught with the murder weapon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That's a little bit like the Charlie Kirk.
Right.
Here's his letter to his lover where he explains that he did not like Charlie Kirk's views on transgender people and killed him for that reason.
Right.
I wonder who did it.
It's tough to know. Yeah.
Tough to know. We'll never know.
I mean, I haven't seen the text messages myself, so.
Well, that's what Candace literally said.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Speaking of assassinations, actually, I was in, you guys were dodging bullets and fighting amongst yourselves. I was in Cleveland, Ohio, real America, you know, visiting a colleague and friend of ours.
Mm.
I was there is the grave of James Garfield. President.
The cat?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No. Let me tell you, he certainly hated one particular Monday. famously assassinated.
Oh,
first American president to be assassinated by Israel. And,
that poor man.
James Garfield.
What an awful end he had.
Yeah, right, because he lived for several days,
For weeks.
Ugh.
He lived for like 3 months.
Ugh.
It was a wound that was easily survivable if they had not been as incompetent.
Right.
The doctors kept reaching into the wound and they got it all affected.
Yeah.
And they were trying to use, basically a prototype X-ray machine, and the metal in the bed springs
was
throwing off the reading so that they couldn't find the bullet.
Yeah.
They kind of expected him to recover, but they had just compromised him so badly that he just got worse and worse for weeks. He lost a dramatic amount of weight. they took him by train to like a nicer seaside place, and he was just in horrible pain for forever and died. It's very sad.
That's awful.
He got worse than he deserved. He didn't deserve that. Nobody deserves that.
Yeah.
It's awful. Poor man.
Not even James Garfield.
No, he seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah, he was a fan, early fan of civil rights.
Yeah. And he was shot by a deranged office seeker.
That's right.
Who wanted a promotion under the then
and believed he'd been promised
oil system.
It. Yeah.
Another delusional
right
type person who thought he'd been promised something. Yeah.
Right. Didn't even have the dignity to have an ideological motive. Yeah.
No, it was just, mm-hmm. I want my promotion. Very
well,
sad.
his tomb in, the cemetery there in Cleveland is, impressive.
Oh, nice.
James Rockefeller is, or John D. Rockefeller, sorry, is buried in the same.
Oh.
Same cemetery.
Interesting.
Yeah.
If you go through old cemeteries, I'm always struck by like very old cemeteries from like the 1800s. You'll see that it's graves of very old people and children.
Mm.
Like died at age 4, died right. at age 1, died at age 9, died at age 2, died at age 2. Very sad. Must have been.
Mm-hmm.
No, people didn't get invested in their children. They didn't even name their children
right.
until they got to a certain age because they all died.
Right.
Must have been hard.
Yeah. Or you just, probably didn't even have a unique name. James A. Garfield, James B. Garfield. No.
Man, it would have sucked to be a... We don't do any romanticizing of the past.
No.
Fuck that.
Mm-mm.
It was,
we used to be much. We used to be much better at not romanticizing the past. We've gotten worse at it, but...
You
get shot with you got a bullet rattling around your body for 3 months and then you die in horrible pain.
And then you die horribly.
Compare that to Gabby Giffords gets shot in the head.
And lives.
And is back to trying to take our guns away, you know?
No, it is incredible how they can, with swift medical attention, the circumstances under which they can save you now.
Truly amazing.
Versus, I always tell the story that Calvin Coolidge, one of our favorite presidents, libertarian in many ways, plausibly one of our most libertarian presidents, while he was president, his son died. I think he was a teenager. It was very sad. He was playing tennis in the White House, and he got a blister on his foot. It got infected, and he died.
Yeah.
And that was just life.
It's enough.
With something that, 30 years later, with penicillin, that would have been no problem.
Yep.
We shrug off things that...
would have been a huge tragedy in this man's life, right?
Yeah.
And
I
believe it was his predecessor, Warren G. Harding. There was a scandal where he was at some like speakeasy thing, and one of the Kickline girls fell and broke her leg, and then that got infected, so they had to amputate the leg. Yeah, and she's a Kickline girl, so that's her whole career right there.
You can only use your leg.
I'm pretty sure I'm not making
twice.
That up. I'm pretty sure I'm not. Yeah. You can only use your leg. Yeah, you can only lose your leg twice. That's
that'd
right.
be terrible. That'd be terrible. What you you sleep with a prostitute, you get syphilis. That's it. You just got syphilis for the rest of your life, and you go insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could be the leader of the Third Reich.
That's crazy.
Still syphilis riddled. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. No longer.
Hey,
now sleep with as many prostitutes
right.
as you want.
We solve that. You go insane. You're sane again, and you get right back into
it. You
can
get AIDS from a prostitute, and you'll survive, despite Anthony Fauci's best efforts.
AIDS doesn't even kill you anymore.
Yeah.
We've come a long way since the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On that, yeah. I mean, that is also truly, truly remarkable.
Yeah.
That,
oh, yeah, sure.
That disease
it's not a death sentence. Yeah.
No. It's complete. Also, they have preventative, you can take the medicine for it and just, you will not contract it either.
Oh, right. Yeah, sure.
Which is
right.
incredible.
Right.
It's more, in terms of sex-based transmission of it, it's safer than condoms. It's
right.
incredible.
Right.
With something that was a death sentence and was rampant among gay community, et cetera, just 30 years ago. It's incredible. Science, man.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
See, we're in favor of it.
Pro science. Science does good things.
We're doing science, but not in an annoying lib way.
No,
like we're just funding science.
No, they like scientists, right?
Oh, actually, how do you feel about this? Since we're talking about AIDS,
I'm against it.
Okay. Bold stand. I mean, and I get it. I know even libertarians are like that the program in Africa to give it to them is very effective.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Trump administration is thinking about getting rid of it or has gotten rid of aspects of it. But, like, I'll be honest. Is it our responsibility as taxpayers of the United States to in perpetuity pay for preventative medical treatment or if you have it, medical treatment mm-hmm. for people in another country? Like, I don't want to cause any kind of crisis of that. Like, I wouldn't want to rip this medication out of people's hands immediately. I would be against that. But it's sort of like the plan is just for us to pay for it forever.
Yeah.
That seems a little different to me than there's an outbreak of something, we're sweeping in to help, and then what now? They should build hospital. They got to set, like, the mm-hmm. plan was just for us to pay for it forever.
Yeah.
I mean, if you put that to a vote of the American people, I can pretty well tell you what they're going to say. A large majority are going to say, wait, my tax dollars go to medical treatment for people in Africa forever?
Constantly. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the Trump administration, I'm reading, they basically said, well, we want to do it, but we want these minerals or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's being portrayed as this callous. But isn't that just an exchange of resources? We have medical care you need, and we've been just giving it to you and expecting nothing in return? And now we are going to expect something in return? Doesn't seem crazy to me, honestly.
No, I agree. And,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's also a robust debate about whether, in fact, this like program was as successful as people claim, or certainly that the like health impacts that, you know, like now everyone is dying of AIDS once again. And, you know, there's, I think there's a lot of dispute about that as well. Yeah, you don't, you want to, I mean, I'm fine with, you know, like emergency responses to help.
I'm fine to sweep in and roll this out. But we started doing this in like 2005 or something.
Right.
So what, there was at no point was there a plan to,
it's also not
it be sustainable without us paying for it.
Also, all things considered, it's like not a lot of money. And
not a lot of money. I get it.
No. But I say that to mean that like private philanthropy and these own governments themselves could pay for it.
Right. But they're never going to do that because we're just paying for it.
Right.
We're preventing the development of a.
Right. Well, also, yeah, you
know what I mean?
Yeah. You pour money into these countries and how much of it is just going to fund conflicts and corrupt kleptocrats and whatever else. Like that, you don't have that much control, so much control.
But all the headlines on this is like, oh, the Trump administration wants people in Africa to get sick and die of AIDS. Oh, zero people have died of AIDS in this country. Now someone has, and it's the fault of Trump.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's, would the American people vote for this? That we are the taxpayers of the U.S. are responsible for health programs in another country?
Yeah.
Forever?
Right, yeah.
Just forever, in perpetuity.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me.
No.
Yeah.
It's not what, I mean, you know, I think it's a noble thing to try to help.
Well, sure, and I would contribute, and people would contribute to.
And people do.
Foundations to do that. And again, we should not, we don't want some pandemic that originates in Africa to then sweep the globe, or so I can understand a national security justification.
But the problem is
for coming in and doing to prevent something, but that just can't be the plan always.
But also like the and then like the government interventions to stop the pandemic end up causing the pandemic.
Right.
Well, that's what they say. That's what they say. With the was an early spreader of AIDS was smallpox inoculations. They weren't sterilizing the needles. They would just arm.
Crazy.
And so you're spreading AIDS that way. Crazy. And then you had these bushwhacking virologists who are like, we'll go across Africa and Asia and harvest the viruses and let's bring them back to Wuhan and we'll engineer them to be less deadly. Well,
I wish they would stop doing that.
Yeah. What's the worst that could happen? You know?
What's the worst that could happen? Okay. Moving right along. We talked about AIDS enough, more than I thought we were going to. Red button, blue button.
Okay. You're really going to have to catch me.
I wrote my whole newsletter about this week, and I talked about it on Rising, and I talked about it on Freed Up, or we're Freed Up, on the group chat. I am obsessed with this, and I think everyone is being really stupid. Okay.
Okay.
You know, I'll read you the exact question.
Okay.
The way it appears in my newsletter. From Mr. Beast tweeted this. Mm-hmm. You know who that is?
The YouTuber.
Yeah, and Tim Urban.
Philanthropist.
So a version of this question appears from time to time on social media, and it's a poll. Here's a question. Everyone on Earth takes a private vote. Oh, and we'll put it on screen. By pressing a red or blue button. You got to press the red button or the blue button. If more than 50% of people press the blue button, everyone lives. If less than 50% press the blue button, only people who press the red button live.
Okay.
So the blue button wins in the poll.
Yeah.
But, and I understand that if you don't think about it very hard, the blue button, oh, we'll trust. We'll have a high trust. We trust that other people press the blue button.
I understand.
But
what you're saying.
The red button is the correct answer, obviously.
Because if everyone presses the red button,
we all live.
No one dies.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's guaranteed.
You guarantee that you win, you live, and you're not actually hurting everyone because anyone else could also just press the red button.
Right. Individual. Yeah. The individual and collective logic is
the
same. Yeah.
So you should just press the red button.
Yeah. Okay.
But people lose their mind if you say, yo, you want me to die? You heartless man. You don't trust your neighbors? We got to come together as a society to press the blue button.
Yeah.
That's what they're all saying. Like, stop. You're putting yourself in harm's way by pressing the blue button.
Right.
Now you're imposing an obligation on me to come save you when you could have just pressed the red button.
Yeah.
We can all press the red button and be fine. Lindsay and I, my co-host on Rising, had this out. And she's like, I would rather be I'd rather press the blue button and be vaporized than share a planet with you, you red button pusher.
All right. Well, good luck.
Yeah. But blue button wins in the poll.
I mean, I think it's – I guess the only conflicting factor is like a massive majority of people are going to press the blue button. So you want to feel like the good person who also presses the blue button.
I'm still just going to press the red button.
Yeah.
And –
yeah,
okay.
But everyone should just press the red button.
They should all we can all just press the red button. It's not like other prisoners' dilemma problems where doing the optimal thing for you has
screw
a suboptimal result for someone else or for the society at large. We can all do the optimal thing for ourselves, which would also be the optimal thing for society.
Right.
That's good indicator that that's the right thing.
You can completely protect yourself. You're only trivially participating in a potentially bad outcome that every single other person has full ability to avoid.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, that seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah. I said it's like there's two paths. One is just a safe path. The other is through quicksand. You could just take the safe path, but these blue button pushers, they're going into the quicksand and then they got to hope someone's going to come help save them and that person could also die in the quicksand. Or we could just take the safe path. That's what they're doing. But it I think, and if you think if you word the question slightly differently, if the question is just worded two buttons, red button, you live, blue button, you live only if 51% of people press the button, everyone will pick the red button.
Yeah.
It's just worded in a way to impose this. You're part of the good club if you're doing, and you're part of the callousness if you're the red button. It goes to show how you can manipulate poll results. This is the relevant thing for us. Democracy, critical, skeptical people in the libertarian side of things. This is mass public opinion. People don't think through game theory and political economy very much, very closely. And I'm not sure I want to share a democracy with them.
Everyone would be, everyone would be shouting at us and saying we're endangering everyone by pressing the red button, that we must be forced to press the blue button.
Yes.
Democracy must be, this is kind of like the COVID vaccine, right?
Yes.
It's like, oh, the red button, you're telling me the red button, the vaccine, would give you complete protection from this virus. And yet,
I
must be forced then to take it as well, because then otherwise you wouldn't have complete
right.
What?
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Okay. No, I can't go to out in public because you know I might put you at risk of this thing that you've already completely connected yourself from.
I thought so. Yeah. I was safe. Huh.
No, but unless we all are forced to do it,
right?
Curious. Well,
curious.
There we go.
So
yeah,
had that one out today.
Okay. No, I completely agree with you.
Good.
You know,
it's the correct.
Yeah.
There's one correct answer.
I stole your pun earlier, and so now I'm trying to make up for it by
I wish I could
you.
Press a button to vaporize you.
Wow. Yeah. Well, too bad. I pressed the red button. Try it.
You're
going to
live.
Try me.
You're going to live. What else we got? I wrote down a couple random things today. Castles. Didn't really have anything to say about them. I just wrote
down
the
word.
Oh,
there was I don't know. I included it in the roundup this morning, but
Castle-related news?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know if I would call it news, but it's really...
Ha 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 It's been there a while.
Yeah. No, Mike Bird is a writer for The Economist. He's like, I think the real reason people don't like data centers is because they're ugly. What if we made them look like this? And it was a data center turned into a castle.
Oh, that's lovely.
I was
lovely.
Like, yeah, I love that. Yeah, that looks good.
Castles are pretty.
They are pretty.
Yeah.
Even though they should be, you know, intimidating. No, not torn down. I mean, I guess maybe, yeah, like
for
get rid of the
reasons.
Norman yoke and all that.
No, we should preserve our castles.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really have any.
We don't have
in this
any
country.
In the US,
yeah,
no.
They call the Smithsonian a castle, but it's just a big building. Yeah.
We like Greco-Roman architecture.
Yeah, neoclassical. Yeah.
It's got to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm unless it's like too crazily modern. I
hate the brutalism of DC, but I mean, that's a very normal, everyone feels that way.
Some of it looks good, I think.
You think so?
The metro stations.
How dare you?
Yeah.
The metro stations look good to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
In what way?
The
You mean the exteriors?
No, the segmented ceilings.
Oh, I
vaulted.
Hate that.
What? No,
I
it looks
it.
Great. It looks
I
great.
I hate it.
Yeah. I mean, I like the New York subway stations with the tiles and everything too. That's fine, but.
I don't like that either.
I don't know. I just like. I just don't like. I can appreciate
metro stations.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, they can be tough places to be.
Yeah,
they
can be brighter and
I just
cleaner.
I don't really give a shit what buildings look like.
Oh, really?
I guess, yeah. Well, I see it as like the first step towards NIMBYism.
It's
like
once you start deciding, your alarm bells start going
mm-hmm.
off on that. I see.
Like,
you would
oh,
say that.
It shouldn't look like that. It should look like this. Next thing, you're going to be at the planning commission hearing, you know, saying that this is raping our neighborhood and everything else. And I'm nipping it in the bud by having very weak aesthetic preferences on anything.
I don't believe that's rape or.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. So there we go.
This phrase I say a lot.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Right. I bet you say that about everything, though. So.
Okay. That's where we are on castles. I also wrote down pirates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thoughts.
Bad.
No.
Romanticized, right?
Too romanticized.
They're violent thieves. And,
yes. But aren't there like pro-libertarian takes on pirates?
The
Invisible Hook.
Yeah. The Peter Leeson book.
Yeah. That guy's pretty smart.
Yeah. I don't know if I would describe it as necessarily a pro-pirate take.
Okay.
More so that pirates operated under market forces as well.
Sure.
Right? There was market incentives for how they organized and governed life on
and
the
they
pirate
were,
ship.
And they were rebelling against cartel-like
well,
sort
so there's,
of...
No? So, well, I guess, okay, so this is maybe a difficult question. Because there's smugglers, right?
Sure.
Who are moving... contraband, right? And
they're trying to avoid
in the 17th, 18th century
of landing at the.
Well, they're trying to avoid the taxes, but then also like the like mercantilist restrictions on you must, you know, you can't trade with foreign nations.
Right.
You have to go to the you have to bring your goods to the metropole, which will then export them. You know, America can't trade with the Netherlands, whatever.
Right.
It's got to go to England first.
Right.
So smuggling, in that sense, is a good free market
right.
operation, but piracy. Requires theft, right?
Right.
So maybe you're stealing from like the state-backed monopoly, but it's still,
sure.
I don't know. Yeah, it's like, can you use violence to attack the crony capitalists?
Right.
And I don't know, probably not.
And the English were always saying, yes, do that to the French.
Right,
and
right.
And do that to the Dutch.
So that's,
and the
yeah,
Dutch
yeah.
were saying, pirates, now you're part of our fleet. Do it to the French, do it to the British.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote a similar... I had a somewhere chin stroking musy take at the in 2021
mm-hmm.
when this was right when they said you know the government said you're not allowed to take AstraZeneca and so they just have all these vials of vaccines sitting around that like are ready to go but the government says you can't have them. I'm like,
great
well,
case
could
for
we,
piracy.
Yeah, could we just break in and steal them? Right. That was the article, and I decided ultimately no, and that would have been a good idea not to, but you don't want to take the AstraZeneca vaccine, but
yeah. But you should be allowed to if you want.
But you should be allowed to, yeah. Yeah.
Do whatever you want.
Murray Rothbard, you remember that guy?
Yeah.
He would say, yeah, I don't know if he wrote specifically about pirates, but he would definitely be like, hell yeah, the pirates should like rape and pillage the East India Company or whatever. He thought it was okay for the students to like burn down Columbia University because they got like government research grants. Yeah.
Lovable. Yeah. Lovable scamp.
Yeah.
I think I had pirates on the mind because Instagram Reels have been serving me a lot of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies or something. Did you see those movies?
I saw the yes, I did.
The first one's pretty good.
I like the first one. The first one is great.
Yeah.
They get increasingly weird. Yes. It's one of those movie franchises where it's like the first one is beloved.
Yes.
And then the second ones are like real deep dives into the lore that only a small selection of weirdos like. Like The Matrix is similar to this. Yeah. Like the first Matrix is a near perfect
movie. The second one is pretty good. I think the second one gets a bad rap and was dragged down by the third one being awful.
Yeah.
The third one is bad.
Yes.
There are still aspects of the third one I like. My view on the Matrix movies is the issue is the more that the real world is shown, the poorer the world building seems.
Mm-hmm.
The more time they spend in Zion and they're like walking around in robot mech suit. They're fighting the artificial intelligence in the real world takes the form of these squid like monster things.
Yeah.
Like why would they be, they're almost insectoid. Yeah. Why would they do that?
It
goes too hard sci-fi because the in the Matrix part is all very plausible and is so well constructed and it's good. It's cool and unique world building.
Mm-hmm.
Outside, it's a very basic kind of half-baked sci-fi that just doesn't add up to me.
Yeah.
And there's none of that in the first movie.
Right.
There's a little of that in the second movie. And then the third movie, they have that whole like battle against the squid robot monsters. Why are they in giant mech suits
that do nothing?
Why wouldn't they just have the guns mounted on the right. I don't know what's the advantage of being in the suit.
And why would you have a bunch of squids instead of just dropping bombs, right?
Right. Explosives. Right. It doesn't make
or just pump a bunch of poison into the cave.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So the third one suffers from that. I would say the stuff in the Matrix is good in the third movie. Agent Smith's corruption of the system mainframe and Neo making a deal actually with the machine intelligence to help them take care of Smith is kind of cool and is awesome.
It's a mess, right?
It's a mess.
Yeah, I like the second.
The
and third
second movie though is better. The second movie,
it's a little more coherent.
A little more coherent. Has that amazing the car chase, the villa fight scene where he fights all the Merovingians people.
Yeah.
The whole, I actually like the confrontation with the architect whose dialogue is like horribly overwrought, but intentionally because he's a machine.
Right.
I think that movie's better than, movie's better than people give it credit for.
You know, actually the thing that I get bored with action movies with long sequences, right? And so I think that's why kind of like undercount.
I usually do too, but I don't in that movie.
The Matrix, I think the first Matrix is a much better balance.
Mm-hmm.
It is like, I mean, it's certainly not my favorite movie. It's not the best movie.
Yeah.
But it is like a perfect movie in a certain way, right? Where it's just like you have some really cool elements all balanced pretty well together.
Yeah.
Like mystery and action and science fiction and philosophy.
The corporate satire.
Yeah, sure. All of it. Great. Awesome.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I this is a controversial take. I did not hate the new one they released.
I thought it was actually
kind of
cool. Yeah, it was actually pretty good.
I didn't. Yeah, not the best movie I had ever seen. Not amazing, but I enjoyed it. I thought how they rebooted the concept was
interesting. They start with kind of making a joke about the fact that they're doing a reboot at all.
Yeah.
And then that's actually the one movie where I thought the stuff outside the Matrix actually kind of worked pretty well.
Yeah.
Where it's like the machines are kind of allies with
the
humans.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I think they finally made it a kind of compelling sort of world now,
right,
outside the... They had
like
just enough continuity.
The machines are now coming into... The Matrix is now coming into the real world.
Right.
It's like the machines form into like human bodies
and
whatever else. Yeah. Like that was actually kind of smart.
And I think Neo and Trinity are good characters. Their dynamic was very compelling and I liked it. It is throughout the movies, but it was nice to see them back together. It made you feel something.
Yeah.
I thought they did a good job. I'm not always against sequels and reboots. If you have a good idea and
keep it going. Yeah.
Keep it going. I'm fine with that. It's just these mindless, unthinking cash grab where they don't have a good idea and they're just doing it for no reason, or they're remaking something that was perfectly fine.
Is the sequel okay? So this is the question: are you doing a sequel because you have more story to tell,
right,
in a compelling world, or are you doing a sequel because it's just a branding exercise?
Right.
Like, well, we have the IP, so we might as well do it under the auspices of
right.
Star Wars or Marvel or
right.
whatever else. Right?
I'll take a sequel over a remake every time.
Yeah.
I don't like when things are remade. If they were good. Mm-hmm. If something was made and it was really bad and you want to try again, fine.
Yeah.
Or you're remaking it, but it's totally different. Like Battlestar Galactica in the one in the aughts was a re-envisioning of the original series.
Completely.
But it was completely different.
Right. The first series was kind of camp and funny. Right.
Whereas, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But you don't need to remake something that was in the same sort of style and...
Right, because
like,
just...
like they're doing with Harry Potter. I'm just
because even if it succeeds, it's boring because it's just doing the same thing.
Right, what's the point?
And if it doesn't succeed, then it's like you're introducing a bunch of unfamiliar notes.
They keep doing this with Avatar: The Last Airbender, which I love. I don't understand why the cartoon show was perfect. They had to make a movie that was terrible.
Yeah.
Now they've made a live action Netflix show, which is fine, but it just pales in comparison to the original thing. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. Yeah. I don't understand why do this.
Yeah. It's no good.
What else we got?
Oh, okay. How about this?
Yeah.
While we're on the topic of piracy, while we're free associating.
Good.
Were you ever a torrenter?
That's an interesting question. Yes, but I don't know anything about... I'm a creative type. I don't know anything technical.
Mm-hmm.
In college, all my roommates were computer science engineer people for the most part.
Yeah.
So they... Yeah. Scott... Shout out to Scott. He set up a spare laptop I had to torrent TV shows, episodes, so we could watch them like Lost and Battlestar Galactica, whatever we were watching at the time. We would torrent it so we could watch it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, nice.
Yep.
Yeah, I used to be a prolific torrenter. TV shows, movies, a lot of music.
Yeah.
But they made it harder, and then the streaming services got much better.
Right, so now it's pointless.
It's not pointless.
No.
In fact, I keep debating whether I would like to get back into it. But I'm kind of out of that world, so I don't remember all the torrent sites and how exactly to do it while not like wrecking your computer with viruses and everything else.
Well, that's why I was looking.
But this is okay. So here's the reasons why you should do it. Right. Firstly, I don't watch new shows, right? I have like five or six things that I really like watch, and I just watch them over
and over
again. It
would take a lot of effort to watch a new thing.
Yeah, and I'm, well, come on. I might not like it. What if I watch it and I only kind of like it?
Yes.
Right. And so why am I paying $10 a month to watch the same Frasier episode over and over again, right?
Oh, that makes
sense. So torrent it, and then it's just there.
Because you can wear out a DVD.
Yeah, right. But torrenting is forever, so they say. And then the second thing is woke, right? What if they try to take it away from you?
Yes,
you know?
That's true. They'll take away the blackface episode.
They'll take away the blackface episode.
Even if it was a tasteful commentary on the concept of blackface.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that metal band's a little too racist. That metal band's way too racist. You know, whatever.
Yeah. Those were tasteful nudes of appropriately aged. They were all above the age when they were taken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that makes me want to download as well. Also, this is maybe just, I find myself like, I feel a little too dependent on Spotify reminding me of things that I like, whereas I miss just the library, the iTunes library or whatever, of just like, oh, this is everything that I've collected and I can scroll through it and it will remind me to listen to things that I haven't listened to in a while and I forget about bands and I come back to them. I worry I am the African nation on, you know, getting the AIDS funding. I'm becoming dependent on Spotify to even remind me what I like in the first place. So
not only do I relate to that, I have solved it by creating a Microsoft Word document on my computer titled Music You Like to Listen To. It just has a list, so I can remember, oh, you like this, you know, I like a bunch of random bands or a bunch of random, yeah, yeah. Because Spotify will keep me up to date on like the last 20 types of things I listen to.
Yeah.
But then, you know, when...
Gets a little repetitive.
You know, I love this is a band you might even like, the band Billy Talent. I'm a big fan of them. It's a Canadian rock band, kind of 90s alt rock, but... screaming, it's harder stuff than I'm usually listen to. Some screaming, and I love them. And I periodically will remember that. Oh, I just like listening to the Billy Talent mix on Spotify.
Yeah,
and then I will forget for a couple months, and then it'll be gone. And I'll remember. Oh yeah, I really like to listen to that.
Yeah,
that's why you need a Microsoft Word document.
Okay, I'll start one of those. Yeah,
yeah, those are good. torrenting. So I have recently learned my quest to play. Mm-hmm. I think I brought it up on the show. I want to play The Legend of Zelda randomizer.
Mm-hmm.
That it randomizes the location of the items in The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time and The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask. And I have investigated how you need to, how you can play that. You have to torrent it. You have to torrent those two game files, mm-hmm. and then there's mm-hmm. a modulator? That's not the right word. It's some word like that. Mm-hmm. I'm so bad at this. I'm not technologically proficient at all, but I think my brother can do it for me. But he said, I need a laptop that's not a Mac, that mm-hmm. it's okay to ruin mm-hmm. in case things go wrong. So I was looking lustfully
Ooh.
At that laptop of yours that you've just gotten a new one.
Oh, yes. So I could use that very laptop for...
Yeah, that could be our torrent laptop.
It could be. We could have a freed up torrent. Yeah, it'll just be here in the background.
Well, but I'm sure people are torrenting this because they don't trust our corporate masters.
They're going to take it away.
Not to sell out.
Take it away.
And sanitize this show mm-hmm. and replace you with a female minority.
Great.
Yeah. So that's what'll happen mm-hmm. to you. Yeah. But then they'll have to torrent this. Mm-hmm. The good stuff, the original stuff.
They won't even let us publish the freed up blackface episode.
No, we're kidding. This is not going anywhere, and Reason would never do something like that.
No.
Never. Because they believe in free speech.
Yeah. It has been an interesting experience switching over to the Mac, I gotta say.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm living someone else's life, you know?
You're a whole different man, whole new man.
Truly, I'm just like, I'm not, I've seen other people live this way, you know,
They are better. Not if you want to steal television episodes and video games, but they're better in every other respect.
Right. I mean, so far, I'm still getting used to some of the buttons and not having the right click, you know, as a second button click, that's a little strange.
Yeah.
But,
you kind of just drag things around, they don't.
Yeah, right. But I kind of like that, tossing them around. You
if
know?
We steal mm-hmm. files on torrent, are we in some way no better than Hassan Piker?
Mm.
Is this a kind of theft we should be against?
Oh, are we micro-looting?
Are we micro-looting?
That actually, that's the church tells you not to pirate and stream online.
It's non-rivalrous.
This is the argument. This would be the argument. Is that like intellectual property? We are ourselves undermining a unjust monopoly granted by the state to holders of intellectual property, which is not proper property because it's, as you say, it's non-rivalrous, meaning that it's...
When Gia Tolentino steals a loaf of bread,
no one else can
have that loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm. Her rivals certainly can't.
Right. When you pirate something, you're not...
Anyone else can have the file, right? Which is why pirating works.
And
in
there's
first
a
place.
Debate in libertarian thought, how intellectual property, whether it is property,
right,
the extent to which it should be defended by the state.
On grounds of efficiency and morality, right?
Mm-hmm. I tend to think our intellectual property laws are too robust and should be. It is very true in the medical space, which we were talking about, as socialists or left people will always say, like, oh, why is this drug so expensive? Like, because the patent for it is exploitation, should not be defended. It's far too robust.
Right.
And you should just be able to make a generic competitor to it, and then it would be cheaper.
Why do we have to have some, like, bullshit generic rock riff to be the theme music of this show?
Yeah.
So because if we tried to use a real song, we would have to, pay the Pied Piper, you know, a gajillion dollars, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I mean, certainly but that's the thing though. It's like, you can say like, okay, these protections are, excessive and overly broad, but if you agree with that, then you agree they shouldn't exist there in the first place. Right. Because.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not for getting rid of them entirely, but the kinds of things people get patents for are too easily granted.
Yeah,
I've become convinced of from watching the show Shark Tank.
Yeah,
where they're always like, "Oh yes, I have a patent for this slightly different thing," and then Mark Cuban's always like, "Oh fuck this, this is stupid."
Right. No, I mean, this is how markets should work. Is like someone innovates a good idea, mm-hmm. and they get monopoly profits for a little bit because they were the first one to come up with it.
For a little
and then
bit,
then everyone figures out how it's actually done, and then they just tank the fucking price.
Yeah,
by turning it into a mass production process, right?
Yeah,
and then we just keep but then the person who came up with they plow their monopoly profits into coming up with the next thing, and it just keeps happening. And this is why we live in a world of abundance. But intellectual property kind of short circuits that for a lot of stuff that we like. So
I'm with you. So it's okay.
Yeah.
We're not micro-looting.
I think there's a colorable case that we're not micro-looting, mm-hmm. and it's not self-serving at all.
I mean, and also, I for the most part, wouldn't do it. I would do it in this case I'm describing to you because there's no way to... I would also just pay for the Zelda randomizer if it was just being sold by Nintendo. I would just buy the thing, yeah. but they don't make it. This is a creative use of... We're manipulating their product into be something else. It shouldn't even count as their monopoly infringement.
Yeah, and people say all the time... So,
also,
well,
also
no...
I bought both these games.
Right.
So I'm actually not even engaged in theft because technically I could do something very sophisticated, you know, to remove its... the information from the Nintendo 64. I bought both these games.
Right. Yeah. No, I feel like we're like, you know, digital medieval serfs, right? You know, we got to pay the Lord, you know, constant land rent just to exist in this world and watch Frasier. And instead, you know,
it is really,
we should be able to homestead our own Frasier episodes.
It's really weird when they remove things from the content library, especially things that they, that, like Westworld, which I've talked about on the show, which is great and then okay and then bad. Mm-hmm. But that's an HBO original series. They took it off. You can't watch that on HBO Max anymore. It's just gone.
Right.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
We should just own DVDs. We should just all get DVDs,
yeah.
I guess. You got to have a whole wing of your house that's just DVD. And although DVDs break too easily.
Streaming offered...
an illusion.
Well, it offered many benefits.
It's vanishing.
It offered many benefits, but it is clearly... not produce the like universal access utopia that maybe we thought it would, right?
Well, they don't know how to make money.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, okay, yeah. How about that? All right. We have, you know, we have to have intellectual property and copyright because then no one would produce anything and no one would make any money doing it. Well, they have the fucking monopolies and they're not making money.
Right.
So why are we even doing this in the first place?
They don't even know what makes the money. It was so funny when there was the most recent strike of the creative people who want one of their, you know, they want more residuals and they wanted more transparency in the profits of streaming to make sure they get more of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you people are idiots.
Yeah.
You do not want more transparency in the profits for the streaming companies. Mm-hmm. You will find out that your show is not making any, there's not even a way to quantify that your show gets, unless you're Stranger Things or Game of Thrones or something, which plausibly motivates more people to subscribe to HBO or Netflix or whatever it is, plausibly, although it costs a lot of money to make those shows. Mm-hmm. How do they even demonstrate that
that's worth it?
That's worth people subscribe and then it's retaining. Obviously, in some sense, it does because they don't have any new content. People are not going to keep subscribing, but it's a little more difficult to quantify than I think people were counting on. And it'll show that so many of these shows these people work on are not what motivating any customers to subscribe to the product or retain the product.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No specific. It's a little like the vote for the blue or red button. No specific show can say they're the ones that is making us the profits, right?
Right.
It's just all, we have to have a bunch of content. Some of it has to be new content, but who knows whose content matters. I don't think they want more transparency.
No.
I think they find out a lot of their jobs are going to be done by AI if there's transparency.
Big mistake. Yeah, you ever watch? Did you ever watch Barry? On HBO.
I've caught clips of that, and it looks great. And I would like to watch it.
Yeah, it is very good. I like it a lot. But there's not giving too much away. But like, there's a bit in the show where like this woman, she like, you know, the character, she like gets her own show and big premiere. Everyone loves it. And then it's like the next day, it's taken off the streaming platform, and she's like talking to the execs, and she's like, "What the fuck happened?" And they're like, "In this industry, no one knows what they're doing. The algorithm knows."
That's true.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. I won't get into that. I've been amazed how much in media people just have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah. The technology is changing all the time. Tastes are changing all the time. What are we to do?
Well, in news media, we're all just moving to video.
Yeah.
As you can see here.
Yeah.
But it's because of social media and what they've done. But who knows?
Turn off the taps.
We got to
adjust.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what's fucking bullshit too about the copyright stuff is like we're the ones fucking dancing for peanuts, right?
Yeah.
News media, like we're out here figuring out, constantly innovating models.
Yes.
To publish
deliver
something
people
without
news and information.
Charging you, yeah, without charging you any money for
right.
you get content for free that we then
right.
somehow are able to sustain.
Well, some people do paywalls, which
yes.
is bad. In this
right?
Shouldn't.
Yeah. But I guess it's unthinkable that we would open up mm-hmm. TV archives of the studios to the public or whatever. It's like a huge crime to torrent those, even though you've paid for it 10 times over with your streaming subscription.
The New York Times finally won. They finally beat me. I just signed up for a subscription. Mm. I was so sick of trying to get around their paywall or emailing the thing to Natalie and having her email me back the code and blah, blah, blah. And I want
to... She's like, I'll send you the New York Times code when you stop doing skits on the show.
Like, yeah, I can't have her having anything else over me. So yeah. I had to get my own New York Times subscription.
Very good.
So now I can play all the games. First, I was just playing Connections and Wordle, but now I can play the one where you get a bunch of letters and you got to make words out of the letters. Word search or spelling.
Oh,
spelling bee.
Yeah, that's the most high IQ of the games.
Yeah, you can only play that one so much, right?
Then it cuts you off.
It cuts
yeah.
you off.
It's like, oh, you're getting a little too good at it. Yeah, it's like the casino. You know, you're getting a little too good at this.
Yeah, but now if you pay for a subscription, you can just play to your heart's content. So
yeah,
I've been spelling bee out.
It's the most,
when
mentally
you get a
taxing
good
game.
Long word in that one, you feel good.
Yeah,
you
really do.
And sometimes you're like, I don't know how I'm going to make any words out of this.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's difficult. I mean, I always get up to a
yesterday
certain point.
Yesterday was a good one.
I don't play it every day. I'll get up to a certain point where I'm like, I've done all I can do. And then you go into like the chat and there's like hints, you know, or people give clues. Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't accept a clue.
I want to get to the end. I want to get to the end. I'll fucking do it.
Won't
okay.
do it.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on your mind?
I don't know. Not really.
No.
Maybe just to like round out with a little politics. We
yeah.
had kind of like a real revenge of the security state just yesterday.
In what
so,
way?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
So
go ahead, tell me.
I'm telling you.
I'm waiting to hear it. Can't wait to hear it.
All right.
Any day now.
So the Department of Homeland Security, which has been shut down for a couple months, right? Partially, even though they've been paying for ICE and everything else with leftover money. They voted finally to fund it, reopen it, right? Okay, so this department that shouldn't exist, this monster bureaucracy created by the war on terror. There was a brief moment in time where we were maybe going to attach some reforms to the murderous immigration enforcement they were doing. And then, no, it's just, it's back, it's rolling. And then at the same time, FISA, Section 702 of FISA, this is the controversial war on terror
spying
program.
Yes, I was talking to Representative Anna Paulina Luna, was
mm-hmm.
on
Rising
this week to talk about it. She's... one of the least bad people on this.
Very
good. She wants the reforms.
Good. Yeah. Well, no, they just extended it again without any reforms. And so,
there you go.
It was about to expire. We could have just let it expire, but no, they're going to keep it running. So.
Even though I thought Republicans all understood now how this can be used to target them, but they're going to complain about it. If anybody gets spied on who's Trump or Trump adjacent, and then they're going to reauthorize it every time.
Yep. So
yeah. Let's see how much they care
Uniparty,
about
that's what they call it.
The Uniparty.
All right.
Well, we're going to go Uniparty in a little bit. Thanks for watching this week on Freed Up. We appreciate it. See you later.
See ya.